know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When you're sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good. But this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be. Whoever you are, I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody, I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was? Before I was me, I was you. You.
Man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution being podcasted, and I am excited because this is a special show. Now, I might have said that 500 times before, but this time I really mean it. We got a special guest in the building, but first and foremost, Harry, what's popping?
Oh, I'm doing good.
You good? You ready to rock good. And roll?
I'm having a tough time keeping these gators down.
It's pimping. But other than that, it really gets easy with practice. Yo. I want to introduce my guest. This is my nigga, for real. Dog, for years. You know what I'm saying?
Back.
All day, every day. You know what I'm saying? We outside.
We outside. Still don't know.
You don't know what? We still outside.
I gotta see that clip for it to make
we
sense.
On the block. You can see me. Yo, give it up for Imagine, y'all. Man.
Yep.
What up, baby?
What's up, Dante? How are you,
it's
man?
Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, too, yo. Nice little spot. Like
you haven't, you haven't,
like
you haven't done the show. It, when you did the show, we was doing it on my dining room table.
The dining room table, yeah.
It was you, Serge, and Luis Gomez.
Dang, you remember that night. Yes.
Yeah.
We had so much fun. That was a cool night.
It was dope.
That was like one of your first episodes and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a studio and shit.
Yeah,
like,
very early on. Cause,
yeah.
It was becoming a wave.
And I wanted to fucking have you on individually, too, but, you know. Whatever.
Yeah, no, we're always moving around.
But at that time, we used to just throw a bunch of motherfuckers on and hope the show was good.
Yeah.
Now we try to dig it in, you know what I'm saying? Dig it in.
And then we realized that was a stupid idea.
That was the dumbest idea ever.
Put a bunch of attention-hungry comedians all in one show.
Hope
they would be polite enough to let the other one speak.
Is that how it sounded when you played it back?
Good. It was good because we kind of learned, you know, not to step on each other.
It was fun, but some people have an ego or too many people want to get their shit in.
I'm gonna say this.
Fucking Imagine is a dude who I've always admired as a comic. What I would say, effortlessly funny. Mm. The Puerto Rican Tony Woods.
Nice.
Effortlessly funny. Just easy. Just you would not think that somebody would smash so hard. Mm. So easy.
So effortlessly.
Yeah, effortlessly.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. Thank you for watching me, because I tried to put my best into it. You know what I mean? We're in the game of funnies.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy funnies.
And to be honest, you know the compliment that I gave you is on.
No, that's a serious
that's
one.
That's dead on,
to
right?
To compare with Tony Roberts, that's a deep.
Yeah, that's a
deep.
Dead
yeah.
on. Dead on. No, not Tony Roberts, Tony Woods.
Tony Woods. Oh, Tony. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of my inspirations to be watching. Coming up from Laugh Lounge, back in our days. The Laugh Lounge days.
Yeah.
Tony Woods, I got to work with him a whole lot more over there. And man, we just became each other's favorite fan.
Yeah.
That's how we became that close.
That's kind of a camaraderie that y'all have.
Yes, we're just. Oh man, I'll sit down.
I've said that to you, right? Imagine like.
You said a lot of complimentary things about Imagine.
Imagine is dope.
That's my guy's. Yo, shout out to him. He's doing real good things right now, man.
Yeah.
I'm real happy to see the platforms he's rocking out on right now.
But he's always, you know, Tony was always self-sabotaging.
You know, Tony's fuck up his own. I mean, the motherfuckers have always loved Tony. Tony's always been funny.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a dude that would show up. He wouldn't always show up.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, and that and that and that that kind of.
Yeah, but a lot of us fall into those. I do remember those categories sometimes. Tony life Woods. Is just life.
Tony Woods, they used to host the Tony Woods show on like Monday nights or whatever.
Yeah,
the
Boston
Comedy.
The Boston.
On Monday nights, right? And then one day he missed a show, and then 2 weeks later he missed the show, and then he was gone for a month, and then he was gone for like a year.
Lord,
right? And he came back, right? So he just stopped showing up. So they
he
just
was
started
like,
booking.
The Tony
and he
Woods
goes, show? Yeah. Y'all don't call it the Tony Woods show no more? Like, Tony, you've been gone for a year, bro.
He just has that
yeah,
energy
still,
of him. It's such a pleasure to be around him, period, because he's going to take you for.
A funny thing. I called Tony up. I said, Tony, I'm at Stand Up New York. Tony, you're supposed to be up next. Where you at? Shorty, where I'm supposed to be?
Yeah.
Stand Up New York. Damn, what time's the spot? I was like, 9:35. You got like 12 minutes to get here. He goes, oh man! I like, where you at? He said, yo, I'm in Paris. And I'm like, why did you ask me what time was the spot? Like, you,
what difference
like,
did
somehow
it make?
You was gonna make it?
He's always on. He's definitely always on.
Yeah. That's his thought process.
He's
it's
definitely
like,
always
on.
On. Yes. I don't know how to. I'm sorry, you guys.
Sorry,
I don't know how
right.
to turn it off.
Sorry,
off. It's an iPhone. I just switched from amps. Yeah. So I'm just, yeah, little by little, I'll get the
yeah, hang of so it. He was just, he was like, Shorty, I'm in Paris, France. Like, I'm not going to make it. I don't, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
I would assume not.
Yeah,
yeah,
you are in France. Like, whatever.
You got to love him still,
so
man.
So he's, that's my dog, though. I mean, oh, but imagine it's like one of those dudes, one of those vet dudes that just, you watch the magic. You watch the magic.
Yeah.
How's the kids, bro?
Man, they're grown. Thanks God. That's, we have 34.
Oh, shit.
30.
Grown for real, for
30.
Real.
30. And my granddaughter's 15 right now. My really? Grandson is about to be 3. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Say I started way back still.
How old you started when you had your first?
14, like 14, 15.
Wow.
And then my boy was at 17, 18.
How did you fucking do at 14? Like what the fuck did y'all play?
My wife
box?
Is older than me.
How much?
2 years older than me.
Yeah, she's still 16.
Yeah,
she's still
16. Still,
she's not robbing the cradle, 14, imagine.
Yeah, no, it's like, those days it was
called,
like that.
Back then they called him a MILF.
The
she's a MILF.
The grown, 16. Yo, listen, you know, I tell her that today. I say, because I used to tell her, I say, yo, you know, you snatched me up. She said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. I saw you stalking me.
You didn't know any better. You were 14. You were naive. You just fell under the spell of
look, I was doing the nasty, and I had fun with it. So it was like, let's do it here. At those times, let's do it anywhere moments.
How long y'all married?
Well, we just got married.
Okay.
Like, official. You know how Puerto Ricans do. We wait a long time.
How long ago y'all got married?
Yeah, we have about 4 years now.
And
right
how
now.
Long did you wait till you got married?
Well,
we waited many years.
Two decades. You go. You,
yeah,
can't be too.
How,
you can't rush into
two
these
decades.
Things.
The yo, oldest son is 34.
Yo, back in the days, if you couldn't afford the engagement ring,
right.
You was all right. Then you see, it was kind of like affording it. You
like
know what I mean?
Affording
I couldn't afford
well,
to give up.
At 14, what is 3 months' salary?
You
that's,
see what
that's,
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. That's
$50. You want to do it, but there's no way. Not in that age. Exactly. My
you got to get a paper route to get his engagement ring?
I had to get a. My mom's had to sign it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah it's consent slips and all. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
you had to get a consent.
No, if I do go forward
oh,
with
right,
it.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Those times. But, you know, later on, you just get used to the engagement ring.
So, did y'all just live apart for a while and then
yes
you just lived in your mom's
went
house
went to school
right
did the whole school thing
right
well play hooky basically we didn't go to school it was just catching up it was like those are the times that we just caught up
yeah
then the daughter was with the grandparents because uh-huh. they thought there was school going on you know there's a lot
yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
it's a lot of catching up and then we get the apartment after the second one.
And how many years after was that?
That's
how
five
old
more
you?
Years.
How
my
old
son, that's five. My daughter's 35, so my son is 30, so 5 years.
So you were like 20
yes.
by the time y'all got the apartment?
I would say 21. Yeah, about around that.
So what'd you do with a son at 14? Like,
yeah, you just raise him, bro.
Like, that's crazy.
You raise your kid.
I've never asked somebody.
You see, if you agree with it, see, my mental was different. If I agreed with it, mentally, that I'm going to go forward with this mission, meaning having a kid and everything. You know, you think about it. This is the time you think about it. And then me and my wife, he was like, let's go for it. So we went for it, and then something happened. The kid didn't come out. Well, something happened in the first beginning. We had tears together. We shared the love. Right. But then I was like, you know, let's try again.
So you did again. So you did. You lost the first one. And then you had
this. No, you don't lose it. You just don't get the results that you're expecting. There was no process of losing it or anything like that. I won't say that. But, you know, it's like, okay, then come out positive.
And
you
so how long did you. But you how long
you're trying to have a baby?
Trying to have a baby.
Oh, you're trying to have a baby at 14?
At those ages, well, I was making money. I couldn't afford it. In those days. Yeah, I was grinding. I was hustling.
At 14?
Yes. Been in the streets since 9. Okay. Yeah. I'm from the Bronx. It's a different...
Yeah, it's a different 14.
You outside?
Yeah, I was outside all day. When all the kids were upstairs, I was still outside in front of the building. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because my mom's was outside. Right. My grandma was playing bingo. So we couldn't go home till she was done with bingo. You know what I mean? It's just a different world. Quédate aquí. It means don't go nowhere, which was in the hood. And I was just staying in the hood. I was
You was hustling at like 14.
My first hustles were I was hustling since way back, like 9, because I was sneaking outside to the hallway of the building. I met all the kids in the lobby playing in the hallways and stuff. But when I started exiting the building was to pump gas. Work at the supermarket.
Right.
You understand? Pack bags.
But you wasn't selling drugs.
No, not at all.
That's when I thought you said you was hustling.
No, the drug probably, because you know, I am from the Bronx. That part probably came in at 16. You understand? There's two kids
old
now.
Old man by then.
Right. Your hustle is different because you go from ganja, and then you're like, yo, I got to upgrade the business. So I upgraded it.
How long did you hustle for?
Until the time I got locked up for it, that was it.
Yeah.
Because when I came home, I threw in the towel. I was like, "What? Like, I ain't nah."
How long was that whole process from you hustling to getting caught, the bid, everything, to coming home?
It was a process of since I started young, it was a long process. You know what I mean?
Like how many years?
How
long? How old were you when you came home?
Oh, when I came home, let me see. I came home, blah, 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 about 20. I came out 31.
How long was the bid?
The bid was 3.5. Okay. So I got caught when I was like
27.
Yeah, somewhere around there like that. And then that was the bid. Because all the other ones was like bullpen therapy. Getting caught for this. Bullpen therapy? Bullpen therapy is...
For the benefit of people who might not be aware.
The bullpen is a clever name, bullpen. But the therapy behind it was brain damaging and such. So you lay there. This is jail. They're called jail.
Yeah.
Like, bullpen therapy is like what precincts have.
But he's talking about the skid bits.
Cells like this, this right here.
This would size, be, okay.
Yeah, this size, but with like 40, 50 guys in it.
In the dormitory. So
no, this is us waiting going to court. Okay. So that would be bullpen therapy.
Okay. Just
a process from the precinct to the court to your arraignment.
Right.
That process is the most wickedest process you could probably go through. You know what I mean? That when people go to, when they present themselves to the judge, they're ready to go to Rikers.
Right.
Because they're going to get a meal, they'll get a bed. It's just disgusting. It's the world of disgust. It's
grimy.
It's the griminess. It's like...
Everybody's grimy,
trying to get a slot on the floor. It's like real... It's like real Mexico in there. You know what I mean? Like, you ever seen them jails? Like real Filipino style. The cell only fits 100 people. Tonight, we have 1,200. And you see them just there. I don't want you to be here. Oh, God. Yeah, but minimize it by 100, maybe. But 50?
It's a lot of crowd.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's why COVID, when COVID hit, that's the first place I thought about. I was oh, my God. Can you imagine?
A lot of motherfuckers died.
No, they were letting people out.
Yeah, but
in the beginning,
they
didn't know what was happening. Not at all.
Because they don't think that happens anyway.
We're talking about mass spreader. That's what they call them.
Super spreaders.
God, dear.
Super spreaders.
Super spreaders. Yeah.
But there was motherfuckers. There were motherfuckers in prison doing, sneaking cameras, showing motherfuckers
like dying, man. Motherfuckers just with a blanket over his head, coughing and shit, just dying.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
COVID in there. Like, that wasn't the place, because you're not going to get the service. You're not going to get the service.
Give me your phone, because you don't know how to cut the fucking sound off of this motherfucker.
There's a little button on the side.
Was that it?
There's a little button on the side.
The fuck little button you just touched?
Right there. That, see the hole right there?
This right here?
Yeah, I just put it down.
Showing a magic.
Is that what? Put it back up. Yeah. When you leave.
That'll put it on the side.
Appreciate you. Thank you. But you ain't want to expose that shit until it annoyed you. That's fucked up. Because it's been happening like four times.
I was going to tell you.
He said you went from Android to iPhone? Give him 10 more minutes worth of. That was bullpen therapy. He gave me the therapy. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, ugh.
Well, listen. Yeah, he assumed you were being sarcastic when you said you couldn't lower it. He didn't know. Dante
no,
didn't.
I really didn't. I really didn't.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't even have a month with this iPhone, and my wife bought it for me, and it's suspicious to me right now because she knows all my locations.
Oh, you're upset that why
she's
she...
Like, she's like, no, exactly where I'm at.
I'll show you how to block that, too.
Listen, I need your help because I feel if I make a left and it's the wrong left, she calls me. Like, you know, it's not hello, it's like, where you at? You know what I mean? Usually you call somebody, you say, hello. Yeah, hi. No, it's... Where you at? I'm like, oh God!
What I like is that Imagine is not afraid, even though he's been locked up. Not afraid of the police or the government.
No,
the wife. That's what you got to worry about. Yeah. No, the wife will get you.
That's probably. That's my parole officer for life.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That's crazy, yo. Motherfuckers don't really know how bad that shit was with the COVID. And motherfuckers
in the jails?
was just in there fucking dying. Niggas was filming motherfuckers. So it's all. You know what's funny? You know, I say this all the time. It's like when they experience the shit that they experience now, like stuff when you talk about like the George Floyd, all that shit, it's like, dog, this was always cops used to come up and smack you in your fucking mouth.
For no reason.
For no reason. Throw you up against
just,
the thing.
Just to get you out the building.
Yeah, get you. You was outside. They wanted
if
to
you
see.
Was in, because at one time they did the hallway sweeps.
Yeah.
Where do we smoke our weed?
In the hallway.
We do everything in the hallway at one time. You know what I mean? But it might be the 18th floor because basically the projects is what really got targeted. You know what I mean? And then they send people, like the cops that they were sending in there were not, they're from the suburbs. You don't understand what's going to happen. No. So there was a lot of incidents going on with that. That's like that one cop that shot that kid on the roof, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
He got, you know, they hit him. He got charged with that.
Really?
He really got, they charged him with that. Cause you know, it was reckless. He didn't have to shoot, but he was so scared. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, wow,
he's a straight pussy.
Why are you in this game?
They pussy. You know what I mean? And you pussy.
You don't belong in that field. Not at all.
Dog, I always say this about Amadou Diallo. Amadou Diallo was the one that got killed with the wallet in his hand.
Yes,
right?
72 times he got shot.
But here's the thing, you know, if it's an African dude. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You don't shoot African dudes. Look, if you got a credit card, you don't want to fuck with an African dude. But an African dude is not doing grimy shit, robbing and sticking up.
No, not at all.
So if you're a white dude, you come from the suburbs, you don't know the difference between a Haitian dude, an African dude, and a regular black dude.
If you can't tell, you shouldn't be in this job.
You gotta get out of here. You shouldn't be in that job, period. Yeah.
If you can't like single them out, like in that sense, like you said.
Yeah, you don't.
Or the wallet.
Yeah, well.
Because he was like, you know, this way. Bam, bing, boom, bam, bing, bing, bing. Yeah. For this, because he, you know.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I've had motherfuckers I've spoke to recently where I was like white dudes who it was like, you know, it's so tragic. I was like, dog, this is the best time ever.
It's the best it's ever been so far.
Motherfuckers didn't get locked up for killing a dude in the street. He didn't even lose his job.
Mm-hmm.
It was just what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Buck up, nigga. Fucking Giuliani. When Amadou Diallo killed, Giuliani said, I stand by my officers.
Yeah, Giuliani in those days, he had vengeance with the Italians, bro. He just like, he had something with these Italians.
But you know what happened when
and
all
he's
that,
Italian, right?
Yeah, but you know what happened
he's
with
Italian.
Giuliani?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what happened to him though? All of the stuff that made him the mayor, because it was unconstitutional, was the whole RICO law he did. All of those indictments got overturned because they were illegal in the first place.
So that motherfucker was shady at the appeal.
A lot of them got turned around.
Well, right, because he used the RICO law, and then they found out that it was unconstitutional what they were doing to them, and all of those South Street, because it was all the Italians at South Street Seaport.
Yeah,
they got it got overturned.
Wow.
And they all got out, but he had already got the props for being America's cop, top yeah, cop.
But he came in with vengeance, though. I was like, what?
Yeah.
But he cleaned New York, yo. He brought an attitude to New York.
Cause
like,
he cleaned what he
his
wanted
corruption
to clean
was and, an attitude because yeah. we suffered through it. All of us through it.
I tell people all the time, that's how I ended up pimping.
Yeah?
Because he was sending Vice out to the strip clubs. So my man was running the strip club, and he was like, and the chicks was turning tricks.
Okay.
In the strip club.
Okay.
So, like, if you could get a lap dance, you should just pull it to the side. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, exactly.
And the owner hired me because I was stripping then, and he was like, yo, these chicks know you. They respect you. Why don't you come and manage the club and keep these bitches from fucking in the club? And so every day I come to work, and I'd be like, stop fucking in the corner. Stop fucking. And then I was like, bing, y'all want to fuck? Let's take it out of the club. We'll do this
separately.
We'll do this separately, yeah. And that's how I got in the game.
Nice. I didn't know you was part of that.
Yeah. Well, because you don't. It's funny. I was telling somebody about this the other day.
I mean, you
day.
Never brought any of your hoes to the comedy club. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I was out of it. I was out of it by then. Oh,
that's fucked up, right? I never seen you with any of your hoes at the club.
How come you don't bring by your hoes?
I never.
You want to meet some of your hoes?
Imagine how long you know we known each other.
We know I'm 28 years in the game.
Before
I'm 28 in the game.
Yeah, but I booked you for stuff.
Yeah,
before I was doing comedy.
No.
Yes.
You see where you was at. I was watching you. You was doing a lot of the Boston. You was doing a lot of New York.
Yeah, but I knew you from before that.
Yeah. We did Yagamos.
When I was stripping, I knew you.
Oh, I see. That's
like, when I was stripping. I was producing comedy shows.
You were stripping.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah. See, this
you didn't
is,
know that?
No, this is a surprise to me. Yeah, do you have surprise sound? Boom, 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 boom.
From 89 to 99.
You was okay. I was in the game.
So, but then I started producing shows. Like, I started producing shows in 92. I started doing comedy shows in 92.
Okay.
Where I used to produce shows and have comics come in, and that's where I met you back then.
Nice.
Just booking with Angelo Lozado.
So you retired yourself from stripping?
Yes.
How was that ceremony?
I didn't, you know.
You didn't do like a last strip?
There was a lot of.
You didn't go on a retirement tour?
I
just faded away.
Shaking his dick for the last time, yeah, ladies exactly. and gentlemen.
A lot of dudes did that.
Was you an aggressive stripper? Would you grab the head and be like, bang, right there in your crotch?
I was a wild dude. I was a wild dude.
Why did you choose to fade away?
Because I watched so many strippers who, way after their prime, they quit stripping, and then they would have I'm going to do my retirement party, and all these old bitches would come out to check, you know, to pay them.
Pay the respects.
But it was, yeah.
That is a process to you get young and you get older. Yeah, okay. Tears.
And they would give you a cake and shit, and then bring you gifts and shit. But it was always like, by the time dudes tried to retire,
yeah,
they had already lost their hype. So there would be a show, right? It would be all these young dudes coming. Okay. And then there would be like a little ceremony, but it would be a whole new crop of new chicks.
Okay.
And they wanted to see the show. They didn't give a fuck about you. They didn't know you.
Yeah, yeah. Because
you was the old school nigga.
So the retirement party was sad.
What was your stripper name? I know it was like
Mandingo. Prince Mandingo.
Yeah. You heard this shit?
Yeah, no, I heard it. I've known it.
It's Prince not even Mandingo. Him. He fucking his dick has a name. That's what it is. He was introducing his dick. Look at this shit. Like, give it up to Dante and Mandingo.
It was Prince Mandingo featuring Dante, special guest.
But Dante. But the dudes would retire way after their prime, and then nobody would give a fuck. And it was just sad.
It was kind of sad.
It was just sad to see motherfuckers like, and then the motherfucker would be like, he would come in a limo, and the young new bitches would be like,
who the fuck is this? We don't give a shit anymore.
But what about, like, I know you have fans and stuff, and I asked you if you was aggressive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you just stopped up because you started doing clubs and then you was approaching women and they were like, "Nah, last time you heard me."
Nah, they ain't.
Your Mandingo bust my leg.
The strip club's like, "Hey, man, we can't afford the insurance, bro.
You smacked me too hard. Mandingo smacked me."
This dude, Mr. Wonderful.
Dante is like not you. He was like, it's Mandingo. I'm scared.
There was this dude, Mr. Wonderful, was like ripped muscle dude, right?
Yeah.
And he'd get pissy drunk, right?
Okay.
And he would have the girl, and you know, like, there'd be the pillar in the dance, and he would pin her against the pillar, and he would grab the pillar, he'd be humping her. Okay. And the girl would be like, ow, like, because he was so drunk.
He didn't have control.
Yeah, he was. He couldn't dance, and he had no kind of acrobatic ability.
He was all muscular.
Yeah, his body was just crazy.
Big.
But he would. Out of the blue.
How was your dancing? I put this visual in my head.
Okay.
What was the music? You were like, yo, private.
Work it to the bone.
Not that thing. Work.
Yeah.
To the bone, bone, bone. That was you?
Yeah.
Black shit.
Betty. Yeah. I used to dance to blow. Oh, Black Betty was down the back. Oh, Black Betty.
My name is Imagine. Let me close my eyes real quick. Oh, this guy is Mandingo, is it?
He would be so drunk, and then he would just decide that he was going to do a front somersault, but he couldn't do front somersault. So he was just like, bang, and slam on the ground. Yo, he was a wild dude.
In the breaking dance community, we would call that the suicide. That was a dance move.
But it was a real suicide.
Yeah, I know.
I used to do a suicide, but I would do a suicide with the intention of doing a suicide.
Yeah, so you know what dance I'm talking about. Yo, pop, bam, yeah. Right there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he would do suicide with no.
That was like my favorite move, yo, the suicide. Yeah. People would be like, go do a suicide. You get one person inside, do a suicide. And I'd be like, bam.
Yeah. Yeah, there was another dude, this guy Roger, he's like a smooth nigga, used to dance to R&B.
Nice.
And he used to go and just mess up girls' hair.
Okay.
Like
purposely?
He would be stroking their face and then he would just take like their hair be done and he would do this. Harry, he would go like this. And they would be like,
what would be the idea of messing up their hair?
Fuck up everybody's hair.
And they would be an asshole?
They would be like this. He would be like,
just to be an asshole?
Can you imagine there was a stripper that would go out there and everybody had straight hair by the time their set is over? Everybody's hair is braided.
Why is everyone's hair all fucked up when I get out of here, bro?
Everybody's hair is braided.
He would be looking at me, laughing and fucking up everybody's hair.
So it's like pulling a rib. He's just fucking with them.
He would just fuck with their hair. And they would be like, yeah. You want to tip him? And he would
just be like, wow.
And they would be like this. Stop.
You know how much they spend on their hair?
And some of them have to have tracks and weaves.
No, that's hilarious.
What the fuck are you doing?
he'd take the weave. Sometimes he'd take the like if they had a wig, he would spin it around them.
Did he try to make it sexy?
No. He would be dancing, come on, they'll rock it. And then he would just be like, and then he'd take the girl here, spin it around.
Stupid. It's just unnecessarily mean.
My God. This is when they knew they were going to become comedians. When is it that you knew? All right, because you go from stripper.
So what happened was
comedy. Yeah,
I always wanted to do comedy.
Okay.
So like right after, like so around, so I was like 89, 90, I was stripping and then Def Jam broke.
Okay.
So when Def Jam broke, I knew Tracy and Mike Epps and all of them when they were at Uptown Comedy Club, when they were doing the sketch show for Uptown. And I had come home from college. And I was doing martial arts and doing bare knuckle fighting and stuff. Nice. And I knew them, and I knew Flex.
That was at like Monty's Comedy Club, right, or something like that.
It was actually Kev.com. You know Kev.com.
Yes,
right? And Andre Iceman.
Yeah, that was right under the subway.
125th.
Uptown Comedy Club. 125th
first. No, I'm talking about the first one was right on 125th, around the corner from Black National Theater.
Yes,
on
exactly.
On Fifth Avenue.
That one, yes.
And they did the television show there with Flex Alexander, was Rhonda Fowler, Jim Brewer, Rob McNaughty, Corwin. Remember Corwin?
And then all of them were writing for it. Mm. Mike Epps, Tracy Morgan, all those dudes was writing for him.
Remember them times, yeah.
And then I wanted to do comedy then. Like, I always liked comedy. Like, as a kid, I was stay up late and watch Johnny Carson and watch, like, Gary Mule Deer.
I remember when I first saw you, I saw you at Stand Up New York, and then I saw you at New York Comedy Club.
I started doing stand up in 2000.
And I thought, actually, I saw you, and I was an audience member. That's when I discovered watching you. I was an audience member. One of my boys was like, yo, let's go to Comic Club. I was like, let's just do it.
You was a comic still.
I was a comic already, but I was doing a lot of urban rooms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this was like a mainstream comedy club. So let's get the experience of what's going on.
That's when I met
Phil from Brooklyn.
Phil from
Brooklyn was on the lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
You was closing it. Yeah. It was us three in the front. Yeah. You were just snapping in us. And all. It was a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't match what I saw. That was what made me.
Oh, me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, but you brought that out and stuff, and the rings. I remember you was talking about the rings and all this, and you know how hard it is to come out the airport, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You killed it in a sense.
Thanks, bro.
And that was the first time I seen you as an audience member.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I got to see you in New York, and you understand. And then you started doing bigger things. I started seeing you on TV. So you've been in the game for a while, man.
I got like 21 in.
Yeah, you definitely been around, man, and always stepped to the mic and always delivered something
great.
That's what's up, bro. I always enjoyed watching you.
Yeah, the thing too was that I started out in the Chitlin' Circuit. In the black room.
Yeah.
And then, but it was so many dudes.
Who you was dealing with at those times?
Who was the dude? Cortez?
Mm.
Remember Cortez? Cortez died, right? He OD'd, right?
No, Cortez is still out there. I booked him, as a matter of fact, for Havana. Not booked, he came over.
Cortez? Is he still in the city?
Cortez, yeah. Chubby black guy, a little bit heavy set.
Remember skinny Cortez? He kind of looked like DMX a little bit.
Mm.
Remember when they used to do Sylvia's restaurant in Brooklyn? The soul food restaurant?
In Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Isn't there one in Harlem?
No, that's Harlem.
Sheila's.
Sheila's, yeah.
Sheila's in Brooklyn on DeKalb Avenue.
Cortez, I gotta know Cortez.
Remember they used to do Claremont Lounge, they used to do all those little...
You ever dealt with Ray DeJean?
Ray, from back in the days, you was going through with
Capone's. Capone was doing BBQs and stuff.
Capone was later.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Can I ask you something? Imagine, like, getting into it as a... When do you get into it? And also, like, when do you make that decision? Because you got a kid at 14.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you start doing comedy? Get into comedy from the streets?
Well, the streets... I call it
and
the
what's
court,
that like
the
having
courts.
A kid when you got to do it?
I said the courts made me do it.
The courts made you do it.
The courts made me do it.
In what sense? How did this happen?
I was facing some time. But in the situation, when the situation happened where I got caught selling drugs to a cop, whatever the case may be.
Whatever the case may be. You gave the full description.
I was like, yo, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. This was my...
Smart, good man.
This was like, I don't know what you're talking about, because I had got rid of the mark money.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The mark money, I was a smart kid. I was like, I don't like this. And when I look at it, I'm like, I don't like the way this one. My boys are like, I don't know. You look strange. That day, I got rid of that.
So they didn't catch you with the mark money. AB didn't connect with me.
So I had a defense. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what you're talking about. So what do you do for a living? Those are the words I chose. Or I do stand-up comedy. You understand what I'm saying?
So that's why do you have money? What do you do for a living? Is that what it was? Where'd you make all this money from?
Well, I do shows. I do comedy. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm most definitely not a drug dealer.
Yeah, that's what you're asking, sir.
You see, exactly. So that whole persona now, it says what they say. Whatever you say will be held against you in the court of law.
Yeah, yeah.
So whatever I said was
difference.
What I had to say and keep my word.
Right, right.
That was me. I was like, I can't change this. So my lawyer was like, okay, we're gonna use that. I'm gonna talk to the judge, whatever the case may be, because they didn't have one and two. So it's
just had a little leeway.
Yeah, I had to just let them know what I do, so the puzzles didn't add up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So. The judge, after he told the judge, you know, he's a comedian, it's what I say, the judge was like, okay, cool, no problem, and make sure he has tickets and show proof. And I'm like,
So you had to do comedy to...
Do you see what I... This is what I'm saying.
This is the greatest story I've ever heard.
The courts... This
made you do it.
Courts made me do it. So now here I am. I'm like, oh, yeah, no doubt. Got you. Whatever this is not. So I have done comedy maybe 4 or 5 times. So I was in the field.
But you had done it.
I done, but it was only four. It was four, dabbling with it, right? Uh-huh. And then I was like, now I was in dabbling.
Right. You couldn't. Yeah. You had an alibi.
Yeah. Exactly. Now I'm doing a show to show my evidence, basically. You know what I mean? So now, every time we go to court, maybe about the 8th time I went to court, the judge said,
"Where's the tickets?"
No, he said, "So you want to be like Seinfeld?" Those were his words to me. And I was like, yeah, definitely something like that. Because to my knowledge now, I just put the pieces together after everything. I had 3 investigators that were on top of me. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm doing this show. I'm calling Jay, the comedian. Yo, what's up? Can I just get on? Whatever. I'm calling Rita Jones. You have a show? This is that. Yeah, let me get 10 tickets, whatever. And I will sell the tickets. You understand what I'm saying? And I will go perform. It was the most craziest shit to do.
Oh, boy.
But 3, just to, whatever you say will be held against you in a court of law.
Yeah.
So I had to continue this vibe. Lord, listen, I had 3 investigators, and I realized this.
And they watched you going, they checked you going in and out.
I realized this later because I'm too young in the game for anybody to be like, man, that was hilarious. The approaches, man, this guy's going to be.
So you was just sucking wind.
So he was going, man, give me your autograph, man. Your autograph is going to be big later.
Who was asking? The investigator was asking?
These were strange people that came.
Yeah.
Boom. I signed. No problem. You know, it is what it is.
But you were at the...
3 times.
You were at the show.
Oh, I did the show.
Oh, so it was legit.
I performed.
It was legit.
Oh, no, I performed.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was on. And I fell in love. So I was on all the time now. You know what I mean? I fell in love with the comedy game. And I'm doing it. I'm like, yo, Jay, where you at? Jay was like, yo, Matt, you first. I'm
Crazy Jay?
Crazy Jay. Yeah. So I'm like.
You see Crazy Jay?
I don't know if I'm familiar with Crazy Jay.
Oh, my God. Jay.
Amazing dude.
Is the funniest
so
nigga
I collected,
ever.
So I collected all my tickets. I followed through. Let's put it that way. I followed through.
Yeah.
At the end, he was like, okay, I'm going to give you a program, 6 months program. And the program, if you complete the program, that's it. Case done. Case
all expunged. Because you had
yes,
because you was
that.
Out there in it. Because
I was bringing them tickets, was coming in. I'm like, look, I was here Thursday. I was here Tuesday. I was like, and then the investigators were getting my signature.
Checking you.
You got what I'm saying? So if I said I'm going to this place, they were there.
But why were they getting the autograph, though? They didn't need to get the autograph.
The autograph was my signature to bring it over to them. Yeah, I even got a signature.
But why are they helping you? That's helping you.
No, that's not helping me. That's the prosecutor's investigators.
If you're not legitimate, then you're going to fuck you. They're going
to
fuck you.
So let's say I say I'm going to do this show. I'm at this place right here, right?
Yeah.
They're there to watch me perform. I can go there and say, let me get one of them tickets and bring it over. You got what I'm saying?
Right, right, right.
So
no, I understand
they're making
that
sure I'm following
confirm,
through.
But once you confirm, what is the benefit of them?
Three different individuals asked for an autograph. When I come down to it, my lawyer knew about it and everything.
Yeah.
You're doing good. That's what his words were. Okay. You're doing a good job. Just keep doing what you're doing.
I'm
on the same page. At the end, the
so
judge says,
"Fuck you, those guys."
Wish you a lot of luck in your career.
Stay out
just
of
like that. You understand?
And I was so they knew.
I never stopped doing comedy from there on.
Wow.
It was a wrap.
Wow. And so what is that like? You got kids and stuff at a young age. Because for me, the pressure was crazy, and I didn't have nothing to worry about. I'm not married. I don't have no kids. You got kids at 14. What is that pressure like? Is it not working?
Yeah.
Can you help him figure that out?
Yeah.
This is the cell phone all over again, imagine. There's a little button on the side.
No, it's just like, it's very low cloud, and it's not big cloud. It's
just pull it.
Just hold it down and pull it?
No, just pull it.
I did pull it. I pulled it from your hand to mine.
Why can't you get that? It's weird.
Do you have to hold down the button here?
No, I don't think so.
This is riveting audio for
you. You have to hold it down?
Yeah, just hold it down and put it.
Yeah, I did that. That's exactly
right. There you go. A little bit more came out that time, I mean.
You hit it, though. You got to hit it.
Okay. Smoke Light.
Yeah.
It's Diet Smoke. It's Diet Smoke, Diet yo. Smoke. That's the sugar-free smoke.
Smoke Zero. But, all right, so, I mean, it's crazy. You got a family now that you're kind of supporting, right, as a comedian? Or how does this...
I'm doing odd jobs.
Yeah.
I'm doing odd jobs. I'm not involved with the streets.
Yeah.
I'm doing factory jobs here and there.
That's got to be a pay cut there. To go legit is a pay cut.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. But I just did these little things for the moment while I was involved with the system. You know what I mean? That's how you get rid of the system.
Right.
You don't have them on top of you. You're doing the right thing. When you get caught up with parole and probations and all that, as long as you follow through.
How long was your probation?
5 years.
So you would have had to do comedy for 5 years minimum.
Straight through.
That you would have had to keep doing.
And I shut everything out with a writing.
So how long did it take you before you started making papers, you started making money?
I started working at Rite Aid.
No, I mean doing comedy.
This is what I'm saying. I started working at Rite Aid and Norm Ill. You know Norm Ill? Remember Norm Ill back in the days?
Yeah.
He had a show up there, 145th Street, the toughest room ever. All African-Americans. We're talking about army jacket, fatigues, boots. You already know that gangster, 145 St. Nicholas audience. The roar. You're not funny.
What year would this have been in? Because for people wearing fatigues, that's got to be around the 90s. Nah. That's Public Enemy time.
That's
90s. That's that Public Enemy era.
Early 2000s is still real straight hood.
Like pork knockers.
Yo, so
no,
he...
No wonder George Bush...
So Norm Ill was like... I used to do New Faces with Norm Ill. Uh-huh. New Faces.
The New Jack.
New Faces. And then... Norm Ill called me one day and said, yo, I can't put you on New Face. I thought I did something wrong. I was like, why? Well, I can't do New Faces. Man, you killing my show. You know what I mean? I'm like, what? Because they want to see you on. So I'm going to give you 50 bucks. I'm going to give you 50 bucks and you come open next week.
Right.
And I was like, what? I got my first 50. The next week, I didn't go to work. I was done. That was it. And Norm Ill started putting me in this and that. That paid way more than what Rite Aid was giving me, probably in one day.
For less time.
For less time.
And
I woke up early and made exactly what I was going to make on Friday, on a Tuesday. I was like, Norm Ill was my dude before he made recipes, but he was probably one of the first
ones. You
know
who I did that too? Huh? Before I was doing comedy, Mike Yard.
Mike Yard
came to my room. I used to do a room on Flatbush, on 45 Flatbush, where the Fruit of Islam was. All the Muslim dudes, and I did it was, and he came there with Toothless, the Toothless Lover. It was a dude who was missing a tooth. He's missing two.
Is that teeth. Smiley you talking about?
Nah. Remember he used to say, this is Toothless Lover. I'm here to tell you the tooth, the whole tooth.
And nothing but the tooth.
And he came, he brought Mike Yard down, and Toothless was like, could you put my man up for a few minutes? I put Mike Yard. And I didn't know, like, because I came from the stripping game. Like,
yeah.
You know how you don't pay niggas? You don't pay new niggas until later.
Nah, not at all.
But I didn't know no better because I know I didn't. Any show I did, I got paid.
And if they tried to disrespect you, you smack them with the Mondingo. Yeah, that's a hell of a name, Mondingo.
Dante holds the records for most knockout with the least amount of clothing on. I mean, that's a fact.
But I fucking went to... Mike Yard went up. He did a good... He had a decent set. And I gave him $35. And Mike Yard tells this story today. He was like, he the first nigga to pay me for comedy. He was like, $35? He goes, I'm doing this shit. Then he decided he was going to be a comic that night.
Yeah. You see, that's... Once someone showed us that worth, showed you the next mission. Yeah. That was like a look. The 50 bucks they gave me, that I framed them. I was like, yo, listen, I framed them. I was like, yo, this is my first 50 bucks.
You still got it framed.
You're like, thank you. Right. It's like more or less like, thank you. Appreciate what
gave
I'm
me
trying
a direction.
Yeah. And then he was like, you're going to do this show. And then he taught me how to become clean because he was doing Baptist church. You understand? Some comedians got a network and they got a whole lot
there's
of shows
some,
for
there's
you.
There's some Christian, some Baptist motherfuckers. They motherfuckers make thousands.
They're making $1,200 a show in the Baptist church. You're like, what? So he started putting me on to the Baptist church, Harlem ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So Harlem ones, you could almost curse. But you know, the Harlem Baptist church, you could be like, but you could say that, this cinema motherfuckers, you know, you could do it like that, you get away with it. But I was like, damn, how do I get clean? How am I going to do this clean comedy? Norm Ill was the one that said, imagine, you don't even curse. You don't even know it, but you don't even curse in your sets. You bring funny, yo. Just bring funny. Oh, God. And then I just started bringing funny, bro.
You still kind of work clean.
Yeah, like, I don't curse unless the character curse.
That's the character you're doing.
Yeah, if he can do it, it's just part of him, but not me.
I just realized that this motherfucker
and never narrate a show like, this motherfucker, and this, that, yeah.
This bitch, yeah.
And if I do curse, it'll sound like that. This son of a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Yeah, I try to keep it there. But that's for a long time.
That's crazy, yo.
For a while I've been doing it.
I mean, what's it like with that, doing that, balancing that and family and kids and stuff?
That's what feeds them.
Yeah.
So that's the balance right there.
Work. To do it.
That's my job.
Exactly. Did it ever, because a lot of comedians deal with it, you're gone all the time, you're out nights.
Yeah. No, I make it. I got family time.
You made family. You made sure you had family time.
Yeah, I got, this is where I discovered creating my own lane. No one runs me. No one operates for me. No one. This business right here, I can run it because it's me that has to present me.
Yeah.
So I can run this business with no problem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So my business mentality, which is streetwise, right?
Sure.
It's dealing with other cults, you know, other people's and pain and whatever. Right. It's the same format you use when you're going to run a business.
Right.
Same thing I do with myself. I'm hard on myself. I make sure I like that. You understand what I'm saying?
And then, but what made you want to have that priority? Because not everyone has that priority.
Because I chose that's my career.
The comedy.
Yes.
But I mean, what made you...
How much of it had to do with the fact that you literally was trying to find yourself? All of a sudden, you end up, Norm Ill put you on. Now you have a value. You have a... I'm valuable. Like, this is what I do.
But I was doing it several years already before that pay. Okay. I always tell comedians, I said, listen, if you're in this game for some money, you're going to wait a long time. Mm-hmm. There's not a money game here. You know what I mean? You'll find it'll be great. You're gonna make great money. You're gonna make surprise money along the way, because you know there's gigs that are like, yo, I'm gonna give you 300. Just say my name. What?
It's unreasonable.
They don't have the balls to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
It's unreasonable. Pay both ways. Yeah. Like insane amounts of money for little
and what
work,
you gotta
and
wait
then
to do it.
No money for a long time.
But like
I'll tell
that.
You this
so,
though. Yeah. The thing.
So
with
my
the-
hustle between that was construction side jobs.
Okay.
And whatever. Yeah. So I didn't go back to the drug selling stuff.
Yeah.
I left.
But
that
you made sure. You said you made sure you wanted to spend time with your family. Not everyone does that. Like where does that come from?
Well,
but
when
he
you
did
run,
start
like
at
I said,
14.
When you run, when you run your own business, you got to fit that time in there.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So since, and not only that, I made life a little more easier with myself with making my wife my partner. Before you
partner in business
and partner, there's two different type of love. You got someone that loves you, and then
just
someone
that
got your back.
Yeah,
you got someone that loves you, and then
so
someone that has your back.
Did she book you and stuff too? Or
no,
she's
my product, my merchandise, my money, my. You understand? It's a different. Administration.
She's with you. She's involved.
Now.
She's, yeah.
Because I changed the format of the business. You got what I'm saying? I can't handle all of this. This part
is... You needed
help. Yeah.
So now she runs... What aspect of it does she do?
My merchandise.
Okay.
My merchandise. My ticket sales. She monitors
all of that.
Yeah, exactly. If I'm selling tickets and everything, she deals with the online tickets
now,
and
what
all that.
Now, was she working the whole time? Or
she
did
still
you,
works.
But no, what I'm saying, when did she start becoming a part of...
She's always been a part of it because she's the one that pushed me to do it. You understand what I'm saying? So when it comes out to the system, the system made me do it.
Her and the judge.
You got no. It's, yeah, exactly. Yeah. She pushed me to do it. The system made me do it.
Uh-huh.
You get what I'm saying? So if I had a calling...
crazy is that?
Didn't you ever have this calling also when people start saying, Dante, man, you funny.
Yeah.
You should be a comedian.
Yeah, but they say that to a lot of motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah, but you had a lot of people tell you that. A few
did
of them.
Did you have a lot of people tell you
no,
that?
Your no,
closest
I didn't.
Ones.
I didn't.
Because did anyone think you were funny?
No, because I was the stripper. So
okay.
No, I didn't. I was worried about why it took me so like I didn't start till 2000.
Okay.
I didn't start till 2000 because I didn't think people would take me seriously because I was such a big stripper at the time.
Yeah, yeah, no,
I figured
got
niggas
you.
Would be like, yo, shut up, take your clothes off.
Plus, stripper took. Yo, yeah.
Plus,
I got
you gotta be good. Like it's one. I mean, you know, I was good at strip. Like I was the that dude.
Yeah.
And I,
it's crazy to start from scratch.
To start
you
from scratch,
being great at your craft.
And I started doing
humble
black
pie
rooms.
Every day.
I was doing the black rooms, just had my jokes, boom, 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 and I was doing well. But then what happened was there were so many great comics on the black side who were making money, but they wasn't getting no fame. They wasn't getting no TV. They didn't have no movies. They didn't have no credits because
they had BET going on for them. There was a lot of BET.
Even that, yeah, but they
Snaps. Remember Snaps?
Yeah, but
that was the ceiling of the Chitlin circuit. When you talk about Kevin Hart,
those pieces is a big valuable part of what we have today. You know what I mean? Because a lot of them that survived that era. It's Tracy Morgan and stuff.
Yeah,
there's
but it can be, but those guys had to go into the navigate the mainstream a little bit.
Yeah, but you don't see a lot of them now today.
Because
I see
they
switch
Tracy.
It over.
I seen Tracy.
Yeah, but you got to understand this though. Tracy, first of all, Mike Epps
is another.
But Mike,
one, that's right.
Here's why Mike got on. If you really think about it, Ice Cube
with Friday.
Ice Cube was producing for he's an NWA nigga who's producing Disney films.
Uh-huh.
Or he's in bed with the movie theaters. And then when Chris Tucker said he didn't want to do no more, he became a Christian and it gave space for Mike Epps to do. Then once Mike Epps did Fridays, he did another Fridays, and then he started doing movies, and then he was able to do Resident Evil and major films like that.
Yeah, but he's in a lot of films, yo.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, it all happened from Friday.
Yes.
And it happened
from
Friday because Ice Cube decided he was going to go mainstream and get that mainstream money. Without him doing that, none of that happens.
Okay.
Without him doing that, Chris Tucker never becomes a guy, Rush Hour.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So... But it was like it was literally like watching these guys who weren't getting a shot unless they made the crossover until they did the mainstream crossover. And then when they did the mainstream crossover, then they started getting film and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And so I started doing mainstream rooms specifically.
With intention.
Because
Ice Cube wasn't even supposed to be a rapper. He just knew how to be a rapper.
Really?
He wasn't like a rapper,
Guy who did it and then,
but he knew the hustle game of the rap game. He was just a smart businessman. You know what I mean?
Doing Disney films.
Let me kick off this.
He literally did the Disney films, and he literally put it in a situation, in a place where other black dudes could make major mainstream money doing films and stuff like that. Mike Epps did Resident Evil.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? So yeah. But man, that's a crazy story, dog. Thank you, man, for having me, man.
Yo, I appreciate the moment, yo. It's always good to express where you come from.
We're gonna do a little something behind the scenes if you can hang out for a little bit.
Right now I have a show up in Havana Cafe in the Bronx every Monday, so I really have to
because
traffic is crazy. It'll allow me to get there on time.
So do your thing, man. Plug your shit.
My Instagram is Imagine Comedian. Hit me up there and we will follow each other from there on, bro.
Appreciate you, dog.
Yes.
Hey, my stuff is at Harry Turjanian. That's where all my comedy is, all my stand up and all the clips and stuff. There you go.
Yo, everything, you know, Google me, Dante, all that, get it. One-on-one consultations, DanteNero.com. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution being podcasted. Yo, I'm out. Peace.
You did not say Mandingo once.
Also, guys, we're going to be doing answering some listener mail on Patreon. So join us over on Patreon, everybody.